brings up this question of what scale are you thinking about the participation? So with these dogs that we are working with, what we were particularly focused on is finding ways that they might participate in developing technologies that can help them to do the work that they're doing. So on that kind of micro scale, there was a way that you could think about them as being participants. But how could you think about the more macro scale? So we didn't ask questions about whether those dogs wanted to be service dogs in the first place. So we didn't ask those broader questions about the ethics of training these animals to become service dogs and the kinds of lives that they lead in doing that kind of work. So there have been questions raised about participatory research more generally with humans, but that's something that is not taken into account so much, that there could be humans participating in the development of some kind of program for them to do their work better, but the larger question of unjust labor practices is not being picked up by the participatory project. And I think that's really important to think about with non-humans as well. What scale of participation are you talking about, and are there broader issues of unethical issues that aren't being addressed because you're focusing on something that seems small and seems doable? I don't even remember exactly what this one was talking about, so I'll skip that one. So I'll try and finish up now because we're going to have more time for questions, I'm sure. Talk about that. Sorry, guys. So I guess I just want to go back to this question just really quickly so we've explored different ways that bringing together two different kinds of disciplines might speak to each other in different kinds of ways, might allow you to think more deeply about what it would be to do research with non-humans. And I guess I want to step back a bit and think about what we're really proposing by doing this. What are we really thinking about? So to return back to this idea of philosophical methods. So although I said at the beginning that philosophers don't really have methods, this is not really the case at all. So understanding methods of argument and analysis, particularly conditions for how an argument can be valid, whether it's truthful, whether it can convince people, are absolutely central to the discipline. I want to suggest that this experiment in more than human participatory research can also be understood as a particular form of analogical reasoning that hopes to shed light on one field by exploring its similarities and differences with another field. So thinking about analogy, could we think about the relationship between these two as analogy? So as Paul Bartha notes, analogies can play an important heuristic role as aids to discovery, in part because they can be used to generate insight and to formulate possible solutions to problems. And it is in this sense of opening up new possibilities for insight that the analogy between animal geographies and participatory geographies has been pursued. Further, Bartha suggests that analogies can also be important in just those types of situations that we find ourselves in now. That is, when proposing something that might appear strange or even nonsensical from common sense points of view. That is, often the point of an analogical argument is just to persuade people to take an idea seriously. So I would suggest that the key work that this paper does is not to set out to prove that what we did in our project was indeed participatory, but rather that by trying to enact an analogy, an analogy that was a thought experiment that was inclined towards this idea of analogy, we have provided grounds for claiming that it has a certain amount of plausibility that makes it worthy of further exploration. Indeed, within contemporary thinking on more than human research, there were already precedents for bringing human and non-human research methods into conversation in order to challenge embedded histories of human exceptionalism. So the work by Dominique Lestal is a very good example of that, of bringing ethnography and ethology together. Of course, the key to a convincing argument by analogy is that there are enough parallels between the two cases to support the extrapolation of characteristics from one to the other. Thus, perhaps the key question for both is how far the resonances between the respective commitments of animal geographers and participatory geographers to ask what matters for those traditionally excluded from research processes might carry. So I think the key here is that both of them are interested in including those excluded from knowledge practices, but I guess it's how far are they both willing to take that is the main question. I just want to finish there.